a few times about it.
Prior to all this, yeah.
Yeah. Could you hear anything of all this? I mean, there's an enormous building program going on all around this area.
Oh, but no one knew. No.
Can you actually hear any of the machinery?
No. You wouldn't have known if you didn't go around that. Well, because you didn't go around that where the boats would have stopped you. You would not have known, unless you lived on Beaulieu Estate or over that side, you wouldn't have known the two docks up at the Beaulieu River here, over up on the, that's on the west side of Beaulieu River. Those two docks, they are obscured by trees and scrub and all sorts of things, and that they were, these docks were dug out in behind at the side of the river with an approach with these lock gates to the river, but they were obscured from view from people. No one would have known they were there. If you went up and down the river in a boat, you wouldn't have known.
You couldn't say anything, you couldn't hear anything.
No. But also, down there, the way it was done down there in Stansford, the area, it was backing against the woods, and it's a very quiet area anyway, between here and Kelshaw. And I mean, aircraft coming in would have seen it, but they were all sorts of camouflaged there. You know, in those days, anything like military establishments used camouflage netting, and the local, say, trees, woods and things you try. It's like in the forest here, the tanks, the American tanks, were all up in the New Forest, in the woods between Exbury and Beaulieu, many areas there, and even further out in the forest. There were huge areas where they had tanks and supplies and whatever, all getting geared up ready for the day that they all took off. I mean, they had it spread everywhere, but never out in the open, obviously under trees. In fact, out on the forest there are places you could go now if you knew where you were looking, where there would be parts of the equipment that was discarded, you know, military equipment. I don't mean guns, I mean, you know, all the lorries that are broken down and that kind of equipment. I know that there's still stuff out in the forested areas. It's quite an area. Obviously, the nearer it got to the initial takeoff time, which would obviously had to be flexible. You couldn't say we're going tomorrow. You could have a raging hurricane tomorrow. So it had to be there, detailed and ready to go, at a time that was suddenly it was decided that we're going at 3 a.m. kind of thing, and that's it. And this is how it happened. But here, even just down here, 200 yards or meters away, just down here, there were American troops there in that little, what was old Leap, there and along in the woods here. They were all there, ready for this thing on the actual day. You know, whenever it was opted to go, that was it. Everyone was ready to make their moves, you know.
So this little bit of sort of halfway between Exbury that side and
yes,
Blackfield that side.
Yeah.
Did that become almost a town crowded with troops and
Well,
tanks?
No, they brought workers in by truck. Oh, yeah, with troops, sorry, yes, fine. They were here, but out in the forest, out in the New Forest, they weren't. Remember that equally, there were lots of people went from Southampton forces, you know, the bulk of the land forces went from there. Not the initial attacking forces, but the make-up companies came in afterwards. Obviously they went from the port, from Portsmouth and from here, but the initial landings were by landing barge, you know, these giant British, American, Canadian landing barges of all sizes, big and small. Of course they had the aircraft, you know, they were bombing and strafing, and also the whole thing, once it started, was a massive operation, wasn't it? And way along the whole south coast, not just from here, I mean, we hear there were places down in Dorset, areas, things happened there that the people living outside didn't know what was going on there. I mean, equally, there were plenty of forces down there, you know that, and along Chesil Beach and that area, Portland area, all those areas. But since we lived here, we knew what was happening here. But this area, by virtue of the Isle of Wight, you couldn't have these monoliths, or caissons, they're called. You couldn't have them outside in an exposed coast. You couldn't have had them along the Dorset coast or along on the Sussex coast because of the weather conditions which could prevail at any time. Whereas in here, it can blow one day and it's flat calm the next. You don't have the same effect of giant waves coming in. So, and basically, the Isle of Wight, anywhere along this northern shore of the Isle of Wight, was an ideal place to anchor anything. For a few days, if it was only a few days, they would be safe, relatively safe, where if you went along the Sussex coast or the, you know, that way, or the Dorset coast this way, or even further west, the seas that come in there would destroy anything that, well, they were such a huge object, you know, like ships, quite big ships in the water, and they were under the, whatever, the influence of the tides and winds and the waves more than anything, so it was ideal. I imagine over there towards King's Quay and Ryde was an ideal place to have these moored ready for the takeoff.
Yeah. I suppose the only problem, once you get into the Solent, if you're turning out across there...
Oh, but once they were underway being towed, they were relatively safe. But if they were just anchored on their own, they weren't relatively safe, you see. You have to think of that like ports and harbours as a place for ships. Ships are fine out at sea when they're moving, you know, under, you know, propulsion one way or another, either sails or propellers or whatever. But if you had things like those that were occasions or objects to tow or to move, you've got to have them somewhere safe prior to your operation. And the Solent is remarkably a quiet. It can blow in the Solent for 10 hours, maybe 12 hours. Quite rough, choppy then, but only short, 3 and 4 foot seas. But out at sea, now that would maintain 40 foot waves for a long, long time if you had gale winds. But inside the Solent, as soon as the wind drops, the sea drops. And it can be flat calm within an hour of the wind dropping. Just like that. So it's an ideal situation for any manoeuvres or any boating, you know, it's an ideal yachting place for that reason alone.
Quite a lot of currents though.
Well, there are, but then you can contain, you know what currents are, they're predictable. You know they're going east for so many hours and west for so many, with each 12 hours, so roughly 5.5 each way or whatever. And so basically you know you can program yourself, and if you put down moorings and things, you know the tide, you know the strength of the tide, you know you can contain that, but you can't contain winds, high winds, especially, well, if you get 40, 50 knots of wind, pressure on a, well, especially on these monoliths, you can imagine it's quite a pressure. But at the same time, it was quite possible, I can't tell you whether they did this, but when they built these caissons, if they put them in fairly deep water, you see, they could have sunk them, because they were... Yeah, and all you had to do was bump them out when you were ready, when I say sunk them, so that at high tide they would be underwater, but at low tide they would clear and you would just put pumps and pump them out. If you wanted to, I don't know whether that was done, but if you wanted to limit the amount of the amount that could be seen from, remembering that all the time we had aircraft were always flying, but mainly at night. There weren't so many daylight rays. Most raids at dusk, the sirens would go on leave, you know, here or in Southampton, wherever. As soon as the dusk was coming, the sirens would go, they would pick up the enemy aircraft crossing the channel. And I must admit that Southampton here, I would have said practically every night was an air raid of some form, you know, in this area or this area along the coast here or in Southampton, the port, a major port, wasn't it? Major factory area for Spitfires and other things. And so understandably, it got well bombed and well disturbed.
But they didn't notice anything happening.
Yeah, it's rather remarkable that they didn't. But you see, if those docks up there, they wouldn't have seen them. Especially they were in connected. There's all woods and trees all around. Yeah. To build them there, and all they had to do was have canvas or say netting, you know, with the things on it looked like trees. Because this netting, camouflage netting, has tapes on it. Various colours, and if you from the air it would look just like woods, like the leaves, would there be leaves on the trees or what have you? They're quite effective camouflage net from the air.
Because it was summertime, wasn't it? Well, early summer.
Well, yeah, that's fine.
You weren't here when they actually moved.
No,
off.